I was so dumb, but I hopped on a plane, almost drove right back to the 541.
So, boys, I've been doing a little bit of spiraling this week, and I don't know if you guys are the ones who are going to be able to, like, talk me down from this, but Oregon has two running backs now. Oregon legitimately has two running backs right now. Oregon has D'Air Hill, and Oregon has Noah Winnington. Jordan Davison broke his collarbone, out for the rest of the year. Had surgery, I think is what we've heard, but Jay Harris, Jaden Lamar entered the portal in the last few days, and they don't have running backs. Like, Oregon suddenly, like, arguably the deepest position on the roster in a matter of, like, two fucking days has two guys. The fuck is going on?
So you want us to stop your spiral here? Is that what?
I don't really know what positivity we're going to glean. Oh, well, did you hear, Braga, did you hear that someone named Braden Platt is taking snaps at running back now?
Fucking,
have you heard that? A true freshman who is a linebacker?
Nathan FKD in our fucking Discord, Sports Brewing Discord, if you'd like to join the fun, by the way. Nutian in our chat right now. This fucking guy bringing up Braden fucking Platt.
As if that's
going to make anybody on earth feel fucking better. Jesus Christ, man. Like, why? So what I was talking about this week is, why does this keep happening to Oregon? Like, why is it when Oregon gets in a place? Because look at the three other teams left. Oregon is better, frankly, than all three of them. Full strength, Oregon is better than all three of them. And Oregon should.
Indiana's a toss-up, at least.
I want to remind you of that October 11th game at Otsutsu.
If you're asking for a Final Four of teams where Oregon probably has the best chance to win a national title, you're probably looking at it, right? Any arguments? Maybe take Indiana out, I guess. But
if Indiana lost,
you're going to replace them with Ohio State. Does that make you feel better? I don't know. Does
I don't think Julian Sands very good. So
Alabama would make me feel better. I'll take Alabama.
Oh,
that's for fucking sure.
That
would be better. But again, I'm like, every time Oregon is in these positions, some dumb bullshit happens. When is some dumb bullshit going to stop happening?
Is the rules going to change here also of the portal window? Because that's the whole problem with it, right? That's why they lost Lamar. That's why they lost Jay Harris. You know, that little bit of depth because of when the portal window opens, it's in the playoffs.
Cool. So the portal window sucks. They're going to change it next year. And voila. Why is it always Oregon? Like last year, the seeding, they had a bye. They had to play Ohio State. So they changed the fucking way the seeding works. So now the dumb shit that happened to Oregon last year won't happen to anybody else again. So now they're going to change the fucking transfer portal window so this doesn't happen to anybody else again. What the fuck? Why does Oregon keep having to be the guinea pigs?
Because we're just the test tube school, man.
This is bullshit.
It's just amazing.
Guess what? Losing Davison is good, especially around the goal line. It hurts to lose Davison. But
Davison,
I'm going to get you off.
15 touchdowns this year, Ski.
That sucks.
It's
a lot of most of our goal line. He does have a handful. Yes, but let me get you off the edge a little bit here. They still have two very good running backs, newsflash, most teams don't have two very good running backs. So Oregon already ahead in the game there. Now, if another injury occurs, then yes, find your nearest building. But as of right now, two good running backs is enough.
Find your nearest building. So the issue I have is we've all seen Oregon's offense this year, and we know how they like to rotate guys, and we know how they often like to have two or three guys on the field at the same time. Like, what having those three essentially same rotation guys, like, because Whittington, Hill, and Davison essentially had the same amount of yards this year, basically. What that allowed them to do is they would have two guys So
they lost that scheme is what they lost, that Davison Deere Hill scheme.
Hill ain't going outside.
That's what they lost.
Like Hill is not going to be in the slot anymore. He's not going to be able to do as many things. Like they're not going to be able to throw like screens to him or and shit like that. He's going to have to play running back. And you know what? Like you say that about short yardage situation. How many times have we seen Noah Whittington get stuffed on short yard plays? Like he doesn't get a ton of them
though.
He can't do well, not anymore because they have Davison. Like that's what I'm saying. They have another guy they can give it to now.
But this is at least the one thing you brought up that they have split the carries a lot. So guess what? Whittington should be the freshest running back in college football in the rest of the playoffs. You know, if this was any other year, you know, maybe not last year, but before then, we would be pissed off. We would be pissed off of saying, hey, we were pissed off last year of saying, hey, give the best running back more carries. And Whittington has looked good. It's not like last year where he was injured and we didn't want him to get the touches. He's looked good this year, much better than he did last year. I go back to my point again. Yes, losing Davison does suck because I think he's the best running back of the three. But no, Whittington
is like 23.
Yeah, he's
like fucking give him 25 carries.
Yes, exactly. It's not a huge. This isn't Braga, the biggest thing like you're
Braga,
making it up to be.
Braga, did you watch the halftime show at the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day?
The Gin Blossoms, was that it?
No, it was Third Eye Blind.
Third Eye Blind.
Get it fucking correct.
Wasn't the song they showed on TV because that was about smoking meth.
Respect on the name, man.
But in the word of Third Eye Blind, I wish you would step back from that ledge, my friend. Cut ties with all the lies that you've been living in. Jay Harris ain't saving the party, man.
No, no. Now, like I said, if another injury happened, that depth would be fucking extremely needed. But those two stay healthy. It hurts, but it doesn't kill.
No, it does hurt. It does hurt, it's not a kill.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if Dante Moore, you know, was out, they're losing by 30, you know.
Yeah.
I think it does make a difference. I don't think it's a killer. I kind of just don't understand why, like, Jay Harris is like, you want to know what? I'm just not going to play. Lamar, Mekhi Hughes, okay, he's still got the residual bump of being really good for, you know, a year and a half at Tulane.
Like, Dalen Austin, like, why are you, like, you have...
You're allowed to play. They're allowed to play. That's what I don't get.
A national title.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it. Because, like, let's say Dalen Austin, just not a running back, Dalen Austin, right? He pops in Achilles on the first quarter. You want to know what he's going to – you want to know what's going to happen next year? He's going to still be at the U of O, and they're going to pay for his education – and they're going to pay for his rehab, and he's going to get a stipend,
still getting a little bit
of NIL money. Like, I don't quite understand. This is all new. This is all brand new. And I just don't quite understand how guys who are, like, rotational players are just like, you want to know what? I'm out. Like last year, and it's funny looking at it now because he's leaving Mizzou to go to some other school. But, like, when Bo Prabula opted out, backup quarterback, Penn State. Yeah. Like, okay, there's only a finite amount of quarterbacks that can start at, you know, P4.
Yep.
But, like, running backs and DBs, not to say they're a dime a dozen.
They're a dime a dozen.
They're kind of a dime a dozen. I don't understand this one. And
Is it purely injury risk? Is that why they sit out? Because, as Braga, why would you not want to... especially these guys could see the field.
Like, it can't just be money. Like, it can't just be money. Like,
it's not just like it's not just injury risk and money. Like, the boring
is it
stuff.
Is it coaches? Are the other coaches saying don't play? You think
it's academic calendar stuff too? Where Oregon's a quarter system school, which is pretty rare. A lot of schools are semester schools. So in the summer, Oregon being a quarter semester school actually really benefits them for early enrollees, but it is terrible for them. In the winter, like, you know, after the season.
So for the transfer portal, it hurts Oregon quite a bit. For regular high school recruits, it helps. Like, we saw pictures from practice this week. They had, like, the Kedry Harrison kid is already here, like 6'7", 260.
Monster.
Yeah. Like, red shirts don't count. So he can play, right?
Yeah. He can play, yeah. Hey, throw like, Dave, man, throw him in. Just why not?
Would that be the craziest shit ever? Like, a high school kid shows up like a week before a playoff game, and they're like, you know what? You're 6'7".
Field goal block.
And
field goal block, at least.
Or, no,
right?
Or like, go do a jump ball in the corner. Like, we need a 2-point conversion. Go be 6'7" and jump really high and catch a football. Can you do that? All right. Here's a number.
Can you trust that kid though if you're landing?
You're on the 53 man roster or whatever the fuck it is. Yeah. So it is very frustrating. Like, I think as a fan of the team, as people who follow the team, it is frustrating, and I won't be able to make sense of it until one of these dudes like says their reasoning. I would like for somebody to ask them flat out, why did you leave your team before a CFP semifinal? Like, you have been with them for years now at this point. You have battled with them. You got, like, for Lamar, you got carries last week against Texas Tech. You were the third running back. And you know what? You might not like the third running back situation, but guess what, dude? There's a really good chance you're going to play in a national title game. You're going to transfer somebody or somewhere? You're not.
Good chance.
You're not. You're not going to get to do that. You're going to get carries next year, but guess what? You could do that anyways. Like, you could wait 3 fucking weeks and then go do it.
Yeah, and I need to know the NCAA's reasoning for having the window be now. Is there any reason they can't push it?
Is it school?
I think that was a coach's design, and it's just blown up in their faces. If I remember correctly,
throw away the coach's poll. Don't let coaches decide anything. Like,
the coaches wanted a January portal, and then like 2 months later, they were like, oh,
whoops.
We're expand. No. They were like, we're expanding the playoffs. Have fun. So, you know, we also
have the weird thing of like Jay Harris is still like practicing with the team, isn't he?
Yeah, this is what. So Nutty and just shared.
There's been.
So it's like, if you're with the team still, fucking suit up if you're needed, right?
Is he confirmed with the team? Because I've seen multiple.
So this is what Nutian posted in our chat. It is a tweet from Eric Scopel of 24/7 Sports, and it says, Will Stein provided confirmation that Jay Harris is still, in fact, with the team despite hitting the portal. So Jay Harris plays this weekend. Cool. I don't see it. I can't see that happening.
He has to play. No. He's there. He has to play.
If he's with the team, he has to play, right? Like,
he has to. You cannot
just
say
that. But Evan Stewart is fucking healthy and is a fucking opt out.
Yeah, I don't want to say he's healthy.
He's a game time decision, then suddenly he's just flat out the next 2 weeks.
Okay, you believe coaches' reports. How gullible are you? Do you still believe in Santa?
They can't lie on those.
Come on, man.
This guy believes in the female orgasm. I mean, look at him.
Yeah, well, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, fuck.
Clitoris is like a Greek word
that they made up in the, you know, 1200 AD or whatever. Like, come on, what are we talking about here? It's basically Sanskrit. You know what I mean?
But again, to be in this position though means, hey, guess what? Oregon's in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Right. Everyone else is, you know, just think of this as somehow magically UW was in this position with what's going down right now. So it's like, hey, little perspective. Yeah.
Okay. You know what?
You have to be in this position to get fucked.
Is that the did you find the clitoris?
Yeah. That's what Google told me it looks like.
All right. King found one, you guys. The Holy Grail.
It's gold too.
Hey.
Iski, I am not trying to fucking hear perspective anymore. I'm not trying to hear, you know what, it could be worse. No. Like, win a national championship, Oregon, and then we can have those conversations. I'm done having those conversations. I'm over it. Like, this is it. This is it. Oregon, you're in the final four.
This guy's upset about being in the final four.
No, I'm saying you're in the final four. Go win a national championship.
Emotional damage.
Go win a national title, and then we'll start talking about, you know, could be worse. It could be Washington with Damon Williams. Okay. All right.
I mean, just kind of on that at
with the rings.
Wavelength.
Give me the rings.
We kind of talked about it last week a little bit. They beat Texas Tech, who was in their first year playing Division I football for reals. Brother, it's going to be fucking terrible if they lose to Indiana in their second year of really playing real football. Like, Oregon's been working at this. You know, they made that surprise Rose Bowl in 94. Cotton Bowl happened. And then the fame meeting with, you know, Phil Knight happened. You know, they build the Moe Center. They change uniforms. Times Square in 2001. They've been building for like 30 years. And if Indiana just comes in, and if Indiana, they have such like no history and tradition. They just made up a mascot, which is a bison this year.
Yeah.
Like they were just like, ah, I don't know. It's a buffalo. I don't know. Did the buffaloes roam in Indiana? No, not really. But we needed something. If that school sweeps you and then goes on to win the national title, log off forever, Oregon fans, because there are levels to getting hit with no natty. When an Oregon State fan tells you no natty, yeah, it's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like,
what do you just say? YA tittle, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, just be lucky you're still allowed to play football, Oregon State. You know what I mean? Like, when an Ohio State fan says it or Alabama, it's like, yeah, that does kind of suck, but whatever. If Indiana can look you in the eye in, you know, 12 days, even if they don't win the title, but if they...
So beating Indiana and then losing the national title, fine.
No. If they lose it to Ole Miss,
both.
It'll be fine enough. If they beat Indiana and lose to Miami...
That's rough too.
That's rough because
that's rough. Listen, losing to Mario.
Yeah, I you know, just it was like 6 weeks ago where Oregon Twitter was nothing but Mario can't coach. Man, lost to SMU, lost to Louisville, and loser Mario
barely got in the playoff.
Shouldn't have been in. I'm now newly Catholic. Go Notre Dame. They should have been in, even though they lost to Miami, because Mario can't coach. That's the disaster.
Sounds like every scenario, you know, except winning it all, is a disaster right now.
If Ole Miss wins it all, I'm fine.
Honestly, that's the best story of a team to win. Stick it to Lane Kiffin. Yeah, but yeah, stick it to Lane Kiffin. Fuck him. Win a title. I mean, that's the real storyline.
I think yes.
But people are, you know, college football people have been like celebrating, like, hey, there's no Ohio State, there's no Alabama, there's no Georgia, there's no whatever. And I'm like, God, I kind of wish there was like an Ohio State or a Georgia. Just,
right.
Can we get a blue blood?
If Georgia wins another one, you want to know what? I don't care.
Hey, guess what, King? If Oregon wins it all, huge asterisk. There's no blue blood. He didn't have to beat a blue blood.
Well, Miami. Well, Miami. Miami's in there.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but they got Mario. Like, come on.
Yeah,
Mario.
So you can...
I know. That is the sweetest path to victory, though, right? Beat Indiana.
And then beating Mario would be the, yes.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Okay, Let's not go there.
This is what I'm saying, Ski. This is why it's so fucked up that this shit happens. It's like fucking.
Well, I haven't seen
position, and then this.
Have these other three schools? Have they lost players to the portal before this game started? Like, I've only seen the Oregon stuff. Have these other teams lost some players as well?
No,
not to the same extent.
Not to the same. But if Davison doesn't get hurt, do you really care?
No, not at all. I was just going to say
that's the thing.
As a matter of fact, I'd be like, Jaden Lamar, thank God you're not stealing carries away from somebody else.
Exactly. You're not stealing.
No, but like they.
So really, just Davison getting hurt.
One of them.
Kyler Casper. Boy, I'm really going to miss you, buddy.
They need one of them. They need Lamar, Harris, or Davison. Yeah. They need one of them. They can't all three be gone.
Who would you actually pick of those three if you could pick one right now to actually play?
Davison.
No, I have Jay Harris and Lamar.
Jay Harris.
If any of the guys,
I said that you would rather have Jay Harris. I like Jay Harris more than Lamar anyways. So
yeah, so do I. Yeah. Yeah. Not that he's done anything.
Yeah,
really? Yes. But he just looks better. like in a uniform, he just looks better. He looks like Ruben Jones.
Who shared that in the Discord? Somebody on Twitter did like fuck it Jay Harris highlights, and it was two carries. But they were both touchdowns. I mean, one of them got called back, but you know.
Yeah, whatever.
I mean, Lamar did have a big catch last week.
Yeah, he was wide open. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, he was wide open.
He did. Yeah. Yep.
Before we take this conversation into the Texas Tech, not recap, but just some pithy conversation. What was your January 1st college football watching experience like? Because
it was all day, baby.
I didn't like it.
Mm-mm.
Orange Bowl at 9 a.m. And I know that's because we're on the West Coast. But the Orange Bowl playing in the daylight, fucking weird.
Rose Bowl too, like the end of the Rose Bowl
the end of the Rose Bowl being under sunlight, insane. And like I always complain about Sugar Bowl, the Superdome is the worst visual watching experience like in the NFL.
Yeah.
So it's not any better in college. It's just gross and dim and dingy, and I hate that stadium, and it's gross. And
it was the only good game. Atlanta Stadium sucks too, man.
They got the butthole in the sky, so that's
good.
Gotta love a butthole in the sky.
Yeah,
face down, ass up. That's ATL.
Yeah, to your point, I did not care for it.
And then
I didn't like watching the game at nine long breaks
in between the games too. Like that was weird too. It was. Yeah, the spacing and the timing was weird.
The spacing was terrible.
Start the Orange Bowl later. Start the Rose Bowl later. Start the fucking other game later. Like, it's easy.
Like, because I knew they were starting stuff earlier because last year, you know, the Rose Bowl was going on while the Peach Bowl was in overtime and then double overtime and blah, 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 blah. So I was like, okay. And then they just don't even show the trophy ceremony of the Orange Bowl, which is whatever. It's not that big of a deal.
Switch to ESPN News.
But they switch to ES. They switch it to the Rose Bowl, and you're like, there's 92 minutes left before the game starts? You couldn't give us 4 minutes of guys throwing oranges. Yeah. We had to get – there was no one even in the stadium when they went live.
It was like still
special
raining.
Teams guys, it was kickers and custodians and spacing was bad.
It wasn't good television viewing.
It was not.
No, and like it's funny because the Ducks have been in the Rose Bowl a few times and they've worn helmets to accentuate the sunset. The chrome, whatever.
Yeah, the chrome.
I don't think any of us stuck around to really watch intently last year how the sunset looked on their helmets. But the two previous times we did. This year was like This autistic Cuban guy is giving an interview after the game under full sun. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
What the fuck? This is not my Rose Bowl. That's all I'm saying. Not what
This ain't your granddaddy's Rose Bowl. I'll tell you that much.
No. It's crazy.
I don't know if I can handle a Mendoza national championship interview. I don't know if my brain can handle that. Like this fucking kid is such a dork. And like he has reused the same over the top Christian dorky interviews, like after
Catholic
interviews.
But that's nothing new. Wins. We've seen that with
literally the same emotions, the same words. Like there's the clip going around of when he was with Cal and they beat Stanford, and he gave the exact same fucking interview, than he did after the Big Ten championship game. The like word for fucking word. It's almost like he rehearsed it, and I can't do that again.
I got a simple solution for you
to win.
Don't listen to the interview.
Fair. I can turn it off. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
And before we go any farther though, Braga, I think I'm going to need you to go get your Kurt Angle hat again.
Okay.
Because Ducks, one of the best, maybe the best Oregon defensive game I've ever seen.
Sure. Okay.
You got to keep it going after that.
I'll be right back. You guys talk amongst yourselves. Look at my dog for a while.
Yeah, we got to keep it all the same here. But I don't know. Keep my eye on the top. Did you really feel any pizzazz to the Rose Bowl?
No, it was weird. It was.
Right. Well, it didn't.
Like there are certain like traditions that we see that we just don't quite get, but the fact that also full credit to Indiana, of course, I do think they're the best team in college football, but like 9 minutes in, you knew Alabama was done. Even if you were suspending belief that this was the game that Alabama was going to play Nick Saban defense and run the ball like a Nick Saban Alabama, right? Like
How could they not run the football?
No, they don't. They had negative yards against Georgia. You know what I mean? Like Alabama stunk. Alabama stunk, and good on Indiana for making them quit, because Alabama quit in the second half. They did not want to be there. It was kind of like when Oregon played Florida State in the 2015 Rose Bowl. And there's that famous clip of Herb Street being like, when Mariota scores, like, Florida State has quit. They have shut down the operation. They have quit. Alabama quit. They quit before Ty Simpson went out. They didn't want to be there. And, yeah, that was part of it. And, you know, defending the old like Rose Bowl tradition makes you sound like the oldest person in the world, because that gave you some clunkers. Did we need to see USC play Juice Williams in Illinois in like 2008?
Did
we need to see Christian McCaffrey run for 700 yards on Iowa like 10 years ago? Uh-huh. Did we? Not really. Yeah. So shit games happen. It was just the vibe was weird. You know, again, no shadows. There was no San Gabriel Mountains. You know, there was none of that. It was, the whole calendar, the whole setup, everything was weird. I don't know why they, I did not understand the calendar that day. It was weird.
I will say I dedicated my entire day to watching college football, which was fun.
So did I.
It was fun, but I could have done without. Like I used the break to go to the store and do some shopping, so I guess it was useful, but I would have preferred to not have it. I don't need 9 in the morning to 9 at night. You know what I mean? Like we can condense 3 games better than that. And they did not.
They did not.
So let's talk about Oregon and Texas Tech finally. The best defensive performance probably ever because I am led to believe that Texas Tech has an elite offense. Like, like we as Duck people probably didn't watch a lot of Texas Tech this year, so we just heard what everybody was telling us about the Texas Tech offense and that they're elite. They got blah 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 playmakers. They average 45 points a game. They stunk. And I don't know, like, how much of that is Oregon making them look like they stink or them just being actually bad and not having actually played anyone this year. But fuck's sake, they couldn't do anything. Like, one play. Like, 50-yard run. That is it. Otherwise, aren't they, like, 100, like 100 yards if they don't have that?
The Betcher should have shut off in the backfield.
He had him in the backfield. Exactly. He took out Amari Washington as well.
Should have been a TFL.
Yes.
To your point, yeah, it was, Morton's finally 100% healthy. These running backs,
look out.
Williams, right? Dickey, they got to watch out. I mean, I didn't think their wide receivers were anything coming into it, but I was also saying that I think the Big 12 was a joke.
Clearly. You know,
that was my whole thing last week. I thought Big 12 this year as offense was terrible.
And that's basically what Lanning said in the Ducks versus them too. Here's our schedule. Here's their schedule. They haven't seen you guys. And he was fucking right.
But guess what? They didn't miss though. They did not miss that front four. Their defensive line and linebackers.
Ooh-wee.
Problematic there.
Before we get on to the front four.
We're talking defense first.
Conversation. Yeah. Yeah.
No, but the Ducks versus them stuff, man, they allow some wild shit to get out.
Yeah, I know.
They got to say it in Texas, all cap, no cattle, that's them, all cap.
Dan.
I don't – save that one, like, for when the season is over and you've won the tie. Like, there are – Ducks versus them is great. I get it. But there are some things they say where I'm just like, I know, like, I'm assuming head coaches around the nation kind of allow themselves to be like, hey, I say wild shit too. You know, we're just doing a motivational thing and we're on our TRT, you know, we're on our Joe Rogan shit, just talking shit. But man, so I see that. I'm like, oh, that one just felt, it didn't need to be out there, but I don't know. Because if they lose in 2 days,
but that's always been Lanning. That's always been Lanning, though. If you lose,
I know. But I'm just saying, if they lose on a last second field goal by one on Friday, everyone's gonna clip the all cap, no cattle. Yeah. That's Oregon, and it's just sometimes
they will have lost to a Big Ten team, King. So like,
is Lanning a villain?
Probably to like everybody else in the country, right? Probably. He's a shit talker. But then again, so is Cignetti. So
no, and that is a funny thing is Cignetti is much more of a shit talker than
Big
Lanning.
Time. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but because he's that little old Indiana, people are like
Lanning's meathead. Like
I kind of like this. Hey, Kurt Cignetti, just a little bit of advice. We know you're dyeing your hair, brother. Google exists,
brother.
When you were at James Madison and you were at Elon and you were at Alabama, there were grays poking out. And now you're blacker than charcoal. You're darker.
On that real quick.
Is he LeBroning like the spray? Like,
no, LeBron's bald now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Finally. But I'm saying
did you happen to watch any of that Duke game last night?
I did not watch Duke basketball.
Oh, well, I was going to say, because you should have seen Carlos Boozer. He's got it's not the Sharpie. He doesn't have the Sharpie head anymore, but he's got just the dark, blackest, like facial hair color. Like,
oh, he's got the 100% the Joe
guy
Budden
job.
Beard. The Joe Budden.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got the Joe Budden. Yeah, yeah. Just like that's like not even a natural.
No,
like, even when you're like in your teens, it's not that dark.
Yeah, I'll say, like, watching the interview with Cignetti and Lanning, like, the joint press conference was, like, pretty fun. I think they play the game. They know the game. They know exactly who each other are. They also know who they are themselves. They're savvy as fuck, and they get it, and it was fun watching that. I think they are way more alike than different, Cignetti and Lanning. And like, if Cignetti stays at Indiana, like, honestly, this could turn into like a fun little thing every year. Like, if Indiana is actually going to be good moving forward.
It's going to be fun. They beat Oregon every time. Is that what you're saying? That sounds awesome.
I'm not saying that.
I mean, but we've seen who he's added to the portal already and all this. I mean, they're going to be good. But again, it all comes down to quarterback. Same thing for the Ducks next year. If Moore comes back, guess what? The Ducks are going to be good. Mm-hmm. Guess what? If Mendoza comes back, guess what? Indiana's going to be good. If neither of them come back, guess what? Could be trouble. You don't know. Could be trouble.
No. That is the doom scenario for Oregon fans. Is Oregon loses a really close game on Friday. It's 27-24. I'm just making up a score. Mm. Dante Moore looks poised, calm, cool. Throws for, you know, 310. Collected. Yeah, actually, I would say collected.
Yeah.
Throws for 310, two touchdowns, no picks. You know, it's 24 of 30. And he's like, well, I got to go pro. And now we're so late in the portal where every quarterback is gone.
Well, except for Dylan Raiola.
Yeah, except for Dylan Raiola. There is a doomsday scenario where Oregon is left holding for what was supposed to be a good, when I say bridge year, you know, that's relative because a million schools this would be a historic season for them. But we went into this year going, last year Oregon went for it. They lost, you know, 18 starters, you know, whatever the ridiculous number was. And now they're one of the youngest teams in the nation. But next year, they're gonna have so much experience.
Yeah, this was a Dante Moore like get your feet wet with Oregon year.
So next year is supposed to be the year. Now we're here, and it still could be the year, but man, there's a world where it's not, and Dante Moore makes probably a correct decision and goes pro, and Oregon is starting fucking
Brock Thomas.
DeMond
Achilles Smith Jr. DeMond Williams.
Yeah. DeMond, no, no, not DeMond. But like, who knows?
Achilles
like,
Smith Jr.
No, okay,
my
sure.
guy, my yeah, guy, Achilles Smith Jr.
You will not. If that is a thing in spring, you will not feel good about it. I'm just saying.
But back to the game question. At what point in the game did you think it was over?
9-0.
9-0?
Yeah.
Once it got to
two scores. Yeah. I think we were all sort of on the same page with that, right? It was like
we were doing the Discord dance. Be like, oh, I don't know. 16-0. Though they're at the 30. And it's like, come on. And I know people were just doing, you know, it's possible because you can do the math.
Yeah.
They weren't scoring two touchdowns and they weren't getting two-point conversions. It was over at 9-0.
The fumble, the Maddie U fumble, that's when it ended. Because then it was Davidson right for that. That's when it went to 13-0. Yeah. Then yes, that's
when that was over. Yeah,
that was the ball game. Yes, and it was so wild how inept Texas Tech was, because Oregon really did give them a lot of opportunities. Like they failed on fourth downs a few times. Like, you know, Dante had that pick where they returned it to midfield, and they continually couldn't do a fucking thing with any of it, and they kept giving it back. Like the pick to Finney early on, the pick to Finney late, like they finally get in the red zone for the first time all fucking game, and he throws the worst fucking
pass
in the end zone any of us have ever seen. It was just crazy. And give credit
to
the first
one, good defense by Finney.
But boy, Tech was bad, man. Boy, their quarterback sucks. He sucks.
Yes. And guess what? Mendoza is not going to let you get away with that shit.
No, he's not throwing that.
He's not throwing that ball.
No. And guess what? They actually have weapons. I didn't fear a single one of their receivers.
Or even like their running backs. Like there have been.
Yeah.
like videos, and you know, you watch it in real time too, but you see, you know, the highlights coming back. Where they just sent like a 170-pound linebacker or running back to just block free rushing safeties and linebackers. That was never, and they got obliterated every time.
Every time.
Every time. Not that Oregon running backs are great at run blocking either, but
one of them
at least they're,
and he's fucking injured.
Oh, get over it.
Whittington. Whittington's all right.
Cardale Jones won a natty. We can do without Jameson. Come on. Yeah. What did you guys think about Dante Moore? Because I just say this because he was 26-33, 234, no touchdowns, and a pick. And the pick,
I don't
really care about, because if he throws it incomplete, they basically start at the exact same field position anyway, because it's fourth down. But the stats look better than how I felt it.
It was the misses that a lot of it has to do with the pressure from Indiana, because their edges are disgustingly good. Because Texas Tech. Yes, they're
basically the same thing. By the way,
same. Like that play with Sadiq on the seam. That if he just picks his head up and looks downfield, it's an easy.
He was the only receiver. I still don't understand that one at all. I wonder what he said when they were watching film or something. Like what he didn't see, because Sadiq is the only guy on the route. Like it's a play action. Like throw the fucking ball. He's open the whole play. Like just throw the ball, dude.
And if you want to get gloomy and glum, he missed two of those throws against Indiana.
He did.
Just did not see the guys who were just
wide open.
Wide open.
Now, is that happy feet? Is that worried? That's got to be worried about the rush coming at you, right?
Yeah, I just think that's who he is right now. You know, it's just because he's not a runner. And oh my God, I never want to see
like
a designed Dante Moore quarterback run up the middle.
Yeah,
he had like four runs on Thursday.
Guess what? There's one or two times a game where he never right and you go,
But he never chose the right angle or
exactly.
The right.
Never.
He's not a good runner.
Not that any of them were going to like bust for 10 plus yards, but he always chose the wrong step. Yeah. It's like, dude, go left.
Like he's got two gears. He's got run to the corner gear. And then by the way, when he sprints to a corner, he is fucking hobbling afterwards. Like that kid's body does not like to run. And then his other one is like a read option keeper where he gets 5 yards, which is enough for a first down, and slides. That's it. I don't want to see him lowering his shoulders. I don't want to see him running and having to make a cut off the back of a lineman. No, that is not Dante Moore. It never will be. Remember, it's the same shit as Darren Thomas. When people used to like try to tell us Darren Thomas was athletic, like he's not. He's not athletic. The dude can throw
DT,
a football
when he
like
got
crazy.
When DT got in space and could just run dead straight, he could get that MPHs up a little bit, but he can't move side to side.
Could,
he had no lat. Darren Thomas
could
run
not.
Straight. Yes, he could. If he was untouched for about 6 or 7 yards, he could get up to speed all right.
So can Dante Moore.
It was anything outside. Yes, exactly. The right scenario, there's correct times to keep the ball
literally,
when you read it correctly.
Literally, like two or three times this year, he has run for a first down out of bounds and like hurt himself running.
Yes.
Like, it's just running. Nobody hits him. It's crazy. Yeah, Ski doesn't know what speed is. He watched Peyton Manning run for 2 decades, says Booble.
Yeah, watch Peyton Manning just pick up first downs
same
every
guy.
Time.
Literally the same guy.
Moore's long run against Iowa is so perfect because he just like pulled up limp where over the last 20 years, like post Harrington, how many Oregon quarterbacks
score.
Just fucking
every single
quarterback scores.
Yeah.
Like literally even Dylan Gabriel scores
Cody
on that play.
Kemp runs Cody in a Kemp. Touchdown. Like what is happening?
Yeah, it was.
Actually, I know one quarterback who wouldn't make it. The old backup for Mariota. I think he's currently a lawyer now, maybe.
Jeff Lockie?
Yeah, I don't think he makes it.
Nick Cock.
Nate Costa's knees would implode. Yeah. You say that. He's a police officer, sir.
No, I don't think he. I don't think he ever. I don't think he is either. I think he failed the physicals. Yeah.
But back to your original question on it, King of Dante Moore. Outside of, like I said, those throws that he just didn't throw, I think he actually looked fine. He looked good. He made the completions. You know, does it help that you didn't worry about them scoring? Yeah, yes. That helps.
Yes.
So if he has, he's not going to be able to have that game again. Or even though he didn't look bad, you know, he can't do that again.
He and Oregon are going to have to take more shots.
He needs three touchdowns out of him.
Yeah, like they took the one deep ball to Benson that they completed, and other than that, they didn't really
throw
deep.
Like nothing
they
downfield.
They threw one to Corey Moore on the sideline that he like tried to catch one handed and didn't, but like that was it.
That was like an 18 yard out.
I'm saying
it wasn't like, they don't throw deep against good teams.
It's weird.
Because they know.
Is it the line?
The offensive line.
Is it the offensive line?
The Texas Tech game was Harkey and World were atrocious.
Yeah,
and it's not the first time. And like I put it in the Discord today. I was on Spotify and just Andrew Nemec and Big Sook podcast came up. And I was like, oh, I'll listen to this thing about Oregon. And it was a 10-minute clip. And I felt like they were right. They're like, yeah, Oregon has been complaining about being snubbed about the Joe Moore Award. Yeah, that's a narrative-based award. They're not the best offensive line. That's their words. They're like, that's insane. They were way better last year. They were better in 2023. They're not good. They were narrative-based this year. They're like, Pregnon is great. Poncho's good. The rest
Poncho, some of those snaps, like, what the fuck's going on there, Ponch?
And they all sucked against Indiana. Like, to a man.
And that's my thing.
Every single guy.
And that's that's my thing about going into this game is I think Oregon's offense has shown you who they are. It was 13 offensive points against Indiana. It was 18 against Iowa. Granted, it was weather, and they did run the ball well. They did run for like 220, but they could never finish a drive. They literally could not finish a drive. Wisconsin, again, weather game. But like even against
Penn
Washington.
State. Even Penn State.
Penn State, 17 points in regulation. And what do they have, 3 or 6 in the first half? Like they pussyfooted around the whole first half. Yeah. 17 in regulation. They ended up with 31 because of overtime rules where you get the ball. And then against Washington, I believe it was 46 carries and 106 yards. And then we go to the Texas Tech game. And it's 30-some carries for 60 yards. I think the line has shown you who they are. I think the offense has shown you who they are. And against Indiana, I don't know why or how anyone's going to be like, this is the game. You wonder what? This is the game they like. Because it's always possible. It's always a possibility. When I say upsets happen, it's a 3.5-point spread. This isn't like the Miracle on Ice. But like, but we've seen what they look like against a defense like Indiana. And it's not great. It's just not great this year. Yeah, they lit up Montana State. Like, yeah, they lit up Oklahoma State. Yeah, they lit up Maryland. Like, yeah, they lit up JMU. Like, yeah, they...
Well, USC, Rutgers.
And USC. No, they've had games. Like, I saw a stat today that there are the 6 biggest margins of victory this year in against Power 4 teams versus Power 4 teams. I think it's split 3-3. Between Indiana and Oregon. It's either 4-2 Indiana or 3-3 split. So they've all blown out teams, but against really good defenses, I think Oregon has shown you who they are. And I don't know why we're still doing the thing. We're like, wait, DeCorian Moore, this is his breakout. DeCorian Moore hasn't had like an electric game.
No. He had that play against Oklahoma State, and he hasn't really done anything since. He caught the touchdown against Rutgers. Like
Penn State game, he had like 2 crazy catches, and one should have been a pick that he tipped and then caught. But he hasn't been like down the field electric.
He's been hurt. He hasn't really had a chance to, of course.
Sure. He missed five
minutes. But to King Point, there hasn't been that downfield threat with him. There's been a lot of intermediate threats where you get the ball in his hands and hope he could break it himself.
Well, Benson turned but he has into not that had... guy. Benson is that guy.
Yeah. He did. Yeah, for sure.
Here's a newsflash. You could have two guys like that on the same team and do it together. It's possible. Hey, you could do that. You run two guys deep.
Hey, Evan Stewart, pull your head out of your ass and play fucking football. How about that? Huh?
Hey, you have three guys do it too. That's an option as well. You have three dudes do it.
All streaks.
But so my question is, all right, if we look at offense for defense from both sides of the ball, you said you're already worried about Oregon's offensive line. Are you worried against Oregon's defense? Like I said, we just witnessed one of the, if not the best Oregon defensive efforts against not in a top level offense, but still
statistically, hey, they were number two in explosive plays. They were like number three in scoring.
Oregon, yeah. I think Oregon made them look
all
really
that stuff
bad.
Is all.
Yeah,
no, they did. I'm not worried about Oregon's defense, but I just know that Indiana's going to have like two drives where they just steal your lunch money. They had three at Autzen. If you can hold them to two, you might win. But they had three. I think all three of their touchdown drives were exactly 75 yard drives, double digit plays, bang, bang, bang.
Grinding.
Yeah.
So for Oregon to win, do they need to mud it up, make it a Stanford-esque game, defense, low possessions?
If you don't think
the offensive line can, if we are saying Indiana is a top five defense, Oregon's offensive line has not been good against good defenses. They don't attack downfield. They don't have the running back, rushing yards against good defenses. It kind of sounds like you need to win this game 17-14.
Well, I think the other thing we have learned as the season's gone on is that the defense since the Indiana game is different as well. And frankly, if you're telling us that you're going to give up that amount of points to Indiana, you think you have a pretty good chance. And Oregon, like I just said, Oregon's defense is way better than they were against Indiana. Like they have grown so much as the year's gone on. Like the freshmen are no longer freshmen, all that shit. But they are like if Matty U is going to start showing up, then that defensive line is a problem. Because everybody else on that front is a problem. Bryce Betcher has like 140 tackles this year. Mixon almost got a pick last week. Like guys are fucking flying around. Kennedy is low key
linebacker tackles.
Low key. Yeah, I know. I'm saying Kennedy is like low key one of the best acquisitions. Like I
like Kennedy a lot.
I like him a lot. And people keep overselling Thieneman, but he's solid. And Finney's a sophomore now, right? Like he's not a freshman anymore. And so if you can avoid, if you can cushion Theron Johnson at the other corner, then you could be okay. Like I could see Oregon maybe only giving up a couple of scores in the whole game just because their defense has been playing so well. Indiana's offense is great. Don't get me wrong.
The difference though, they throw more than one wide receiver at you. Becker, Cooper, and Surratt all could be a problem. And like you said, Theron Johnson is unfortunately still on the field a lot.
He's an issue. Yeah.
So all right, let me pose this last. Finally, we can finish up Duck Talk here. Indiana scores 24 points. How do you feel about Oregon's chances if that's the number?
Oregon loses a close game.
They need to hold them to 21. Is that the number?
Two scores. Like I said,
two scores.
I think Oregon's line has told you who they are. So,
yeah.
And you have two running backs. So, I mean, you could get a punt block for a touchdown. You can get a busted play for a touchdown that skews everything. So, like, I don't want to make it sound hopeless for the Oregon offense by any stretch because their stats are good, but, whatever. If Indiana scores 30, I don't see a path for Oregon to win.
No chance.
Unless it's a complete fluke. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I will say Mendoza hasn't been like crazy lighting it up the last 2 months.
He just makes they need he gets third the touchdown. Four, he gets the third touchdown. And five.
And he doesn't fuck up.
Fourth and he just doesn't fuck up. Yeah.
No. That's
like
and,
I have
and,
way,
and you know what? Or Dante Moore fucked up.
Last I have way played. More confidence in the off in the defense going into this game than the offense.
Yeah, same.
And that's fucking hilarious when people are like, oh, the winner of this game might be the number one pick, and the loser will be the number two pick, you know, a quarterback. But I don't feel like, I don't know. Yeah, it's whatever. I'm yammering. Let's move
so,
on.
Yeah. So I do feel confidence in Oregon's wide receiver group against Indiana. So if Dante Moore has time to throw and go through reads, then Oregon should be able to move the ball. Because you can't rely on your running game all game. Like, I get it. Like, there's two games left, so you might as well give Whittington 20 touches. You know what I mean? I get it. But that can't be just what you do.
No fucking screens,
Booble. No fucking screens. You know what, Will? You're allowed three screens. Once you hit three,
guess
you're
what?
Done.
No. Guess what? You could throw wide receiver screens, but you got to throw some deep balls to move all those guys back on their heels a little bit. That's fucking
stretch the
football
field.
Fucking 10. It's football 101. I mean, come on.
Stretch the field, Oregon. You got weapons. Yeah. Stretch it.
We've been saying this for too fucking long. Yeah. All of last year, most of this year, like, fucking come on. What's the point of getting 5-star receivers?
Agreed. Let's do lines.
lines everywhere. Lines. Lines.
It's not the kind of lines I meant, dude.
All right. Well, let's see.
Okay.
That's more movement here.
Okay. Oh, by the way, real quick, before we actually hop into lines, the movie this week is King of Staten Island. It's on.
Speaking of lines.
Speaking of lines.
Pete Davidson, ladies and gentlemen.
Pete Davidson movie. It's on Peacock. Watch it. Listen to us talk about it on Sunday. Okay.
All right. Braga, you should thank God that TCU beat USC.
Because God.
That was 2 weeks ago. That was, you know, that wasn't any game we picked last week, but that hadn't happened yet. So. You, King, had 8 points. You picked every game right except for Georgia.
King had 8 points? Yo.
Braga, with that TCU game, you had 7 points.
Woo!
And then I, because thank God
Ooh,
for fucking...
little doggies.
Thank God for King and his... speech that got me on Iowa as my Think Jinx dog of the week.
You. Lock!
I got 6 points.
Ski, that's a mighty fine pick you did there.
I couldn't hear such a just, you know, soulful speech and not just get behind it. I mean,
salt of the earth. Iowa.
So with three games left, King, you have 102 points. I have 101 points. Braga, you have 100 points.
Oh, this is good. This is good.
And now with two games also, it's going to be tough to pick your Think Jinx game or your star pick game. So we'll start it off with
Miami. Yeah, what do we do for
Miami?
What do we do for the title game, by the way? Do you just have to pick one?
Yeah.
If you pick the underdog, then I guess you could do both. Yeah.
Exactly. Huh. If you don't. So the first one, Miami. Miami is a 3.5 point favorite against Old Mississippi. King, you're our leader in the clubhouse. I'll let you go.
Miami is my star pick, unfortunately.
I am picking Ole Miss as my feel good. ThinkJinx.com underdog of the week. Lock it the fuck up. Ole Miss wins that game.
Oh, yeah!
Makes it to the net. Yeet! By the way, ThinkJinx.com not only is feeding the pod pup, who's like 8 months now, and just an absolute beast thanks to the ThinkJinx.com food, the kibble and the toppers, it's just good stuff for a pup. And... they are also selling cat food now. It's officially available. You can get kibble, and I was told in a couple weeks they're going to add the wet stuff. You can get cans of the cat food, thinkjinx.com. So hit them up. That's my Think Jinx underdog of the week. Ole Miss, baby!
Unfortunately, I am with King. I am taking Miami as my star pick. Yeah, I don't like Miami. I just don't.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm as a just a college football fan, yeah. I am rooting for Ole Miss. Yeah. It's a better story because fuck Lane Kiffin. Yeah. So.
And I think I see where you both are going with the next one. Go ahead.
Well, maybe. The next one and the last one, Indiana, 3.5-point favorite against the Ducks.
I got Indiana, guys. No. Oregon star pick. Thank you.
I'm going to start by talking about ecosystem. King, are you King? Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go first?
You go first.
I'll go first. I don't like it. I don't like anything that's happening in this game. I really don't. I wish if it was under three, I would 100% take Indiana. I gotta take Oregon. I don't want to. I'm taking them as my Think Jinx pick of the week.
But not the underdog. Mm. So yes, Ski thinks Indiana's gonna win by 3, is what he's saying.
Yes. I know. I'm saying if it was under 3, that's where my real life money would probably be. That's
rough. That is rough stuff, Oregon fan. That is rough stuff. ThinkJinx.com. Rough stuff. All right. Go for it, King.
I mean, we've seen all the things of it's hard to beat a team 2 times. Yeah. We've seen Oregon enough this year, and I've watched Indiana plenty.
Like, Ski, I said it's rough stuff. Nothing. All right, he doesn't have anything to say. Sorry.
All right, I know King. I'm just gonna slot in Indiana for King. I just
give me the Hoosiers.
Like I said, I was all.
They're just better.
They're better. Yes.
It fucking sucks. They're just better. And again, it's not like this is a 9-point spread. Miami won as a 10.5-point underdog against Ohio State this time last week, I believe, on New Year's Eve. So it's not like insurmountable, but come on. Like,
that's the thing. I don't think they are better.
They are better.
Their players, I don't think, are better. I don't think they are.
Their units are better. I think
the amount of players they have. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Come on.
Okay. Yes. That's what I'm asking. Yeah. I'm asking you the question.
And by better, it's like, okay, if you want to say Cignetti is the best coach, you can't at this point, if you're keeping Lanning out of the top 5, you're just doing a thing. So it's not, again, it's not like it's some big, huge gap. Cignetti's just been at this for a long time. Like you said, he wins wherever he goes. Google him. It pisses me off. Actually, you want to know what? Fuck it. I'm not doing numerical, analytical analysis on this. I'm doing fucking feels. And you want to know what?
Feel game.
I'm doing feel game. I'm doing vibes. This is a vibe game.
Big vibe. Yeah.
Kurt Cignetti is a flatline vibe guy. He's an asshole. Flatline vibe, but always an asshole. Dan Lanning, he's a roller coaster. He's cocaine. He's going to have them come out so fired up. He's going to really have real fucking fuel this time. They can manufacture it wherever. And he is an elite manufacturer of bullshit hype that gets his team going. But this week, it's going to be real. Because if you look around, no one is picking them. Dan Rubenstein from the Solid Verbal, Oregon grad, picked him. John Canzano.
They've already crowned. John a lot Canzano of people already crowned Indiana as a champion.
But John Canzano always picks Oregon in the big games. He picks against them in the regular season games. That's his thing. Everyone has crowned Indiana, and they're starting to go, hey, what if it wasn't an IU on the side of their helmet? What if it was a silver helmet with Buckeyes? What if it was a crimson helmet with numbers? What if that was an LSU helmet with the tiger and LSU? What if this was a different helmet, would we be talking about Indiana being the best team of all time? It is a coronation. This is the Heatles in 2013. They are crowning them. It is an absurdity. And I am going to say, fuck it. They don't deserve. They're not going to win because they don't deserve to win. Indiana has been playing football for 2 years. Oregon has been grinding at this for 30 years.
Grinding.
And Indiana has been the more accepted newcomer than Oregon has. And Oregon has done so much more than Indiana. And Indiana fans have no scars. You go look at Indiana highlights from last year, even in October. They would have 25,000 people in the stadium. Indiana does not deserve to win this game. Their fans do not deserve to win this game. Their fans deserve to lose every game in basketball because Bobby Knight is a fucking asshole. Fuck that guy. And his son, Pat Knight, ruined Texas Tech, by the way. Don't even get me started on Red Raider basketball because Darvin Ham, the god. come on, what are we doing here?
What do we do?
Oregon is going to win this game because they deserve to win this game. They deserve. They are the team of destiny. It's not the Hoosiers. Who is it? It's the Ducks. It's you. It's me. It's the mailman. It is your fifth grade teacher that wore that Oregon pennant on the pin on their shirt with pride on Fridays. It is that by Mark Teller who wore that pin every Friday when you went in as a kid. This is Oregon's game. This is Oregon's time. Gentlemen, there has never been a better time to be an Oregon Duck. Where else would you rather be than right here, right now? Atlanta, it's our time. We are going out, and we're coming out peaches. It is our time, and we'll see you in Miami, Mario. We'll see you in Miami. And you want to know what? We haven't lost in Miami this year. You have. You lost Middle Tennessee State in Miami, Mario. You have. It's over. Oregon's winning the national title. Vince Clark, Jeff.
So you're flip-flopping on your pick here is what you're saying.
We deserve it. We have the scars. We have Zach Ertz. We have Dennis Dixon. We have Mariota crying in North Texas after losing to the Buckeyes. We have Darren Thomas picking his nose, unfortunately, on national TV in the national title against Auburn. We have Bo Nix beating Justin Herbert again in North Texas. God fucking, I hate that stadium on national TV. It is our time. We are winning. And I don't like saying we. I don't. But right now, we are a collective we. We, the people, are winning this game.
America
is winning this game.
Proud citizens of Eugene, Oregon.
God bless our troops. And God bless Dan Lanning and the University of Oregon football team. Let's go.
So King is picking Oregon, I think is the gist.
Yeah, I'm picking Oregon.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, let's do our list. That was awesome. Our list comes from Ski because the lists in our there were a couple of good ones, not ones that we really felt comfortable doing last minute, which is when we decided on a list, and or topic-wise yet. So Ski's idea, they're playing in the Peach Bowl, top three peach things. Peaches. You get it. There's peaches. Peach things. Who wants to start?
I'll start. Go this is a boring it. One. My number three, peach cobbler.
When was the last time you guys had peach cobbler?
Last Christmas I made it. Yeah. I do like making peach. I like caramelizing peaches. It's good.
That's good stuff.
I like a good peach cobbler as well.
That is good stuff.
I'll go. My number two is peaches.
Three?
My number three is peaches by the Presidents of the United States of America.
It's also my number three. Millions of peaches. Peaches for me. Millions of peaches. Peaches for free.
That was my number two.
All right. I imagine we're all probably going to have some pretty similar lists here, but do you want to just say that one as your three, or do you want to say your three now? King.
Me?
Yeah.
Here
he did. Your, I already did.
That was your yeah. two, right? Oh, okay.
That was my two.
Okay.
That was my two.
So we'll just use it as your three. Okay. Nutians, James and the Giant Peach. Swoosh McDuck.
Overrated both.
Swoosh McDuck. Peach Schnapps.
If you're drinking schnapps, that's kind of the only one to fucking drink.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. Let's see. Fenders, peaches and cream ice cream. Interesting. I don't think I've ever had that. I bet it's good. I like a fruit ice cream. I like cherry Garcia. I like that ice cream. Let's see. Boobles is peaches and cream. The 112 song.
Oh, it's a good God. Yeah, that was mine. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Erica's
peaches and cream.
Erica's is peach pie from the Varsity Georgia place. Is that a restaurant? What is that? I don't know what that is.
I'm guessing it's someplace in Georgia.
And then WCP's is Peach. I assume you mean Princess Peach from Mario Princess Bros. Peach. Yeah. He said Peaches from Mario Bros. Do you Mario?
Do you game, bro?
Because Peaches.
She's fucking royalty.
I can't
put some
click
fucking
a link, dude. I can't click a link. What is this? What do you think this is? Sharing links in the chat. Just a fucking guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, King already gave his two. So my number two, you know what? If I'm ever drinking a non-Coors Light before noon, I'm drinking a peach Bellini.
Whoa.
That's my other if I'm not drinking a beer, I don't like mimosas, I'm drinking a peach Bellini.
Whoa. Okay. You don't like a mimosa is my big takeaway from this. Because mimosas are fucking excellent. I think you're wrong, and I think God will judge you on the way out.
I mean, yeah. If you were a true American, you would just crack a fucking silver bullet like a fucking real American.
You crack a Mike's hard if you're a real American. Yeah. I mean, what are we talking about here, Ski? Ski. So King's already said his number two, I'm pretty sure. let's see. My number two, good old canned peaches.
Oh, it's so syrupy.
I've eaten a lot of canned peaches in my day. I used to just like... open that shit up, grab a fork, and I would just eat canned peaches. Fucking awesome.
Were you a half a peach, or were you like peach slices?
Yeah, the slices.
Yeah, the slices.
The slices, not just the big half chunk of a peach.
No, yeah. That's too much. Yeah. I mean, I'm eating the entire thing anyways, but it's too much.
Exactly.
Too much to take on at once. You gotta, there's levels, as King said earlier. Yeah. All right, twos from the chat. Nutian, gummy peach rings. Good call.
They're like peachios.
Extremely good call. Those are fucking fantastic. Erica's number two, the peach emoji. Hey now.
Hey now.
I bet you do like the peach emoji. I bet you do. Fender's number two, the Peach Pit from Beverly Hills 90210. And I'm not old enough for that. That's before my time. Yeah. So
I don't know what that is.
That's something mommies and daddies used to watch.
I was more of a Melrose Place guy.
You were a Melrose guy.
We've always said that. Yeah. Let's see. Boobles number two is Peaches. Canadian artist apparently had a song called Fuck the Pain Away. So you don't know who this band is, like, or this person is? You just Googled them. All right. And then Swoosh's number two is Princess Peach, which is the correct way you say that. WCP. And then WCP's number two is also the peach emoji. Getting a lot of play this week, I wonder if it's like
bunch of horn dogs in here.
Yeah, dang, yeah, yeah. Eggplant
New Year's
emoji.
Resolutions are pretty
eggplant
spicy.
Eggplant emoji, splash emoji, peach emoji. Yeah. Ooh, I like fans.
First of all, man, I like vagina. That's one thing I like.
What's your number one, Ski?
My number one is... I'm going to go with... I can eat a peach for hours.
Nick
not a better line than fucking Nick Cage and Face Off.
I can eat a peach for hours.
That's
so gross. And the face he makes when he grabs her ass. Oh. Jesus Christ.
That's... The ultimate Cage.
Oh,
right there.
Man. Oh, hey, somebody in the chat, like, I forget, was it Booble who shared that new Nick Cage movie that we apparently need to watch that looks incredibly bad? Like, what? Give me the name of that movie in the chat. Fender said it. Okay. Give me the name of that movie so I can remember it. Gunslinger, it's called. So apparently there's this new movie with Cage called Gunslinger, and it looks like one of the wildest acting decisions he's ever made, and he has made a few, so...
It's not the movie I picked, The Holy Trinity. I mean, that was essentially
not the Holy
Cage
Trinity.
Gunslinger.
I know.
Isn't that bell peppers and celery? Onions?
Yep, and onion. Onion, celery, and pepper. Yeah. Holy Trinity.
Let's see. My number one is peach gummies because they're awesome. Genuinely. Like, they're one of the best candies. Like, they're great. What about you, King?
My number one is not this, but I'm surprised no one mentioned it. It was Jack Black singing Peaches in the Super Mario's Brother movie.
Yeah.
That was a hit.
That was an absolute banger. Yep.
But my number one is the Steve Miller Band line. I really love your peaches. Want to shake your tree.
Oh, God. our parents like bad music.
I think Steve Miller Band had some bangers.
Steve Miller Band, man.
Yeah. No, I'm just talking to my ass. Let's see.
Like an abracadabra, man. What are we talking here?
Well, abracadabra is a
banger.
If you want to...
That song is a jam. 1,000%.
Yeah. What an abracadabra.
Abracadabra. Oh my God.
I mean, if Eminem is going to straight grab you. Yeah.
I want that to play at my funeral, dude. Like, that song rocks.
I want Steve Miller Band and ABBA and maybe one Journey song. That's all I want at my funeral.
That should be our list next week because Oregon's going to lose. So it'll be like top three songs to play at your funeral because
spoke the wind into existence, sir. Yeah.
I love that for you.
You got the hat on. I mean, what more can we do here?
Hey, I picked Oregon to win. Only one of us didn't.
We all did.
Fucking coward.
I just dropped a tack in my carpet.
That sucks. Don't do that.
Let's see how. Yeah.
See how that goes for you. Let's see. Number one's from the chat. Nuttian says peach crumble. WCP says peach rings gummies. Fenders impeachment proceedings. Impeachment proceedings. He said.
Not my president, sir.
Monsieur. Swoosh McDuck, Peaches Johnson. Turn off safe search.
Okay. I'm going to assume that's an adult actor. Right?
But which?
Actress?
It's an actress. Come on.
Probably.
Peaches.
I would imagine. I wouldn't know.
I just have a question. When you were at your peak, I'm not saying now, this could have been 5 years ago, could have been 10 years ago. I mean, the internet didn't go that low, but when you were hubbing, you know, the most, and you went in, you just pulled it up, you pulled up the hub. Did you go specific actress or actor for those who partake in that or keyword, or do you just go whatever they feed you, because you don't want that. Because I
You don't want that search in there.
I didn't want them to try and nail me down. So I would kind of go to things like, this isn't really my jam, but I don't want them to have a bead on my sickness. I don't want them to know I'm a real freak by zeroing in.
My
you
entire,
don't want to see what your algo turns into?
My entire algorithm, I was just going to say, is AI. Anyways, so it's
oh, no.
Yeah, so like nope, still can't hear it. Still can't hear it.
Surprised me not. It was such a boner sound.
It would have been perfect. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, I'm the only single guy here. No chance iHub anymore. No fucking chance.
People
I'm
in the chat.
It.
Come on.
I'm
come
past
on.
It. I don't
be honest.
I don't
be honest.
Masturbate anymore. I am at a higher plane, gentlemen. So you reach a point in life where you're just beyond those types of things, you know?
You fucking masturbate your mind, man.
Masturbate your mind, bro. Hey, Skeet, I can't scroll in my chat. Do you have yours open?
Oh.
Can you read the other number ones?
Yeah. Let's see. One, Princess Peach. Peach. All right. Booble, the Peach Bowl when Oregon beat the fuck out of Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This guy gets it.
Nutty and Erica's number one, me, parentheses, herself. If you know, you know.
I know.
I get it.
That is all she wrote.
I like this. Netian, if you jack off, you'll be the reason why Oregon loses this week. Because you sinned and God does not. No nut natty. All right. No nut natty. On that, we are ending the podcast.
Do not come.
Thank you, Swoosh McDuck. Movie
me
on
me in the morning.
I'm gonna come.
Yep.
I got a shower.
As soon as the game's over and Oregon wins, the Trump one. Yeah. As soon as it's over. Matter of fact,
but the cream rise to the top. Oh yeah.
They start doing the fucking trophy presentation. I'm out. It is out.
Yeah.
It is out.
Oh, now you need the sound. Now the
I know. A succulent Chinese meal. Goddamn right, Booble. All right, our movie on Sunday is King of Staten Island. It is on Peacock. Watch that. Listen to us talk about it. The Pete Davidson vehicle. Judd Apatow directed it. So there you go. Came out during COVID. So nobody saw it in the theater unless you lived in another country. That's it. Go Ducks.
Or Staten Island, weirdly enough.
Or Staten Island.
Yeah. Pete Davidson.
They did not care about COVID being a thing in Staten Island.
They sure did not. Florida.
No. Texas, maybe. Yeah. All right.
Go Ducks.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah.
No, fuck that. No. Yeah, go Ducks, man. It's our time. We deserve it. They don't deserve it. Again.
Thank
watching
you.
The Rose Bowl, I was fucking, it made me sick. I didn't know they have like 60,000 undergrads. Why did I say undergrad?
Undergrad.
I'm like John Travolta in that
Chinese
movie where
I'm
learning Portuguese all of a sudden. But the fact that they had like 70,000 people at that stadium fucking pissed me off. Where have you guys been your entire fucking lives? You're in a football games. You're losing on Friday, dorks. Go cheer for Khalil Ware as a Miami Heat player. That's all you guys got, you losers.
You're
he's a duck too, you losers.
You're Oregon 30 years ago. You were only allowed to play in a Rose Bowl. Nothing else
beyond
that.
You need to hurt. You need to feel pain.
For a lot longer.
You need to cry.
You need Cignetti.
You need to sit in a corner while your significant other goes, it's been 4 days. This is pathetic. Get over the loss. And you're like, Cam Newton, Cardinal Jones.
Why is Chip Kelly still running up the middle?
Zach Ertz.
All right. On that note, bye. Go Ducks.